Good morning. I wish you all could see what was happening right before we went live today. I want you to know you can't see it. You can just see me, but I see a crazy group of men who were having a lot of fun. And that's the good thing about our Fulcher family. We get to come together, have fun. It's good to have a group of guys here setting up, getting everything ready for service, and loving the Lord. The weather is very rainy and nasty outside, but inside here, I want to tell you there's a lot of joy, a lot of love, a lot of fellowship, a lot of encouragement, and I can't wait for next week for us to be back together. I hope that you're already making plans to be here next week. I'm looking forward to that, and I hope you are as well. Again, I want to spend some time looking at the passage that Keith Williams read a few moments ago from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. And I want us to talk a little bit about just a new year, a new you. Now, I know for a lot of us, 2020 was difficult. In a lot of ways, not meaning that we didn't grow closer to the Lord in 2020, not meaning that we didn't spend time in God's Word, not meaning that as a congregation we weren't doing things to help encourage, to help build up, to help lift up one another in 2020, but I think we would all agree it was a very challenging and difficult year. So now we're in 2021. We've had these first two Sundays where we've been meeting virtually. We're about to get together and move forward together next week. And so I want to kind of give you a little bit of a boost, if you will, to be positive this morning and to talk about how we might have a great 2020. And I think Paul gives us some good words in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7 and going through verse 16 about how we can be positive. Now, and move forward. I know most of us, it almost seems like the second week of the year, if we mention the word resolution, it's like, oh. Because, you know, we had all those great ambitions last week, right? All those great ambitions last week, and then maybe a few days we were on it, you know? And regardless of whatever, resolutions are great. Regardless of whatever your resolution was, maybe it was to, you know, be healthier, maybe it was to study God's Word a little more, get a little more in depth in the Word to grow spiritually, maybe it was to do something good or, you know, for another person to be kind and generous and serving. It just depends on what your plans were, okay? Maybe you want to have a better prayer life. How many of us want to have a better prayer life in 2021? I think we all do, don't we? We want to be better. And so whatever your resolution is or was last week, sometimes as we get frustrated, don't we? You know, we start to think about these resolutions and we start to think about, well, you know, I'm not as diligent today as I was last week in my prayer life. I did not open my Bible as much as I should have. I ate a bunch of things last week I shouldn't have eaten as I'm trying to get healthier. Whatever the case is, at times resolutions can be a monkey on our back, if you will. You know, it can be very frustrating. We think about the fact that we're not as disciplined as we should be, and then we start to think about how we're a failure or we're not good enough. And so I want you to understand that we're 1 week into this thing. Don't give up yet, right? Hang on to those resolutions and realize discipline doesn't happen overnight. It's something that occurs over a period of time. And the more disciplined you become in your resolutions, the better you will be. As a matter of fact, the word resolution actually means a firm decision to do or not to do something. Okay, I'm going to decide right now that I'm going to lose 5 pounds. I'm going to decide right now I'm going to walk an extra mile. I'm going to decide right now I'm going to read a chapter of God's Word every day. I'm going to decide right now that I'm going to be better in my prayer life 3 times a day. I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to give God thanks, and I'm going to think about God's people, and I'm going to ask for blessings to pour out in abundance. Okay. Over time, those things can happen. But be resolute, right? Resolutions, New Year's resolutions are a good thing. And I think as a congregation, it's important for us to consider the fact that we need to grow closer together. And the only way we can do that is by being together, Okay, we can grow closer together. We can be more active together in serving our community here in Fulshear. That when we start to embrace this idea of growth and start to put it into practice, then we will be stronger spiritually. I'm a firm believer God will provide the increase. I think God will bless us in this new year. I want to tell you a story about Monty Heinecker. I learned about this story through Stan Dowk, the preacher at the Burney Church of Christ, who did our gospel meeting last year. Actually, 2 years ago. Yeah, 2020 was a little bit weird. We did have some things scheduled, but we had to put those on hold. But 2 years ago when Stan did our gospel meeting, you might remember him. Very good guy, great Christian man. Well, Stan was telling me about this story about Monty Heinecker. And Monty Heinecker had, I think he grew up in Oklahoma, member of the church, but he ended up moving to Montana. And he became the head guy over a ranch. He was running a ranch in Montana. And one day, Monty Heinecker was out in the field working the hay, and lightning struck very close to him. And when the lightning struck, it knocked him back off of his feet onto the ground, and it knocked the pitchfork up in the air. The pitchfork came down and hit Monty Heinecker right in the chest and went through, pierced his heart. True story. And so, luckily, the other farmhands that were there, they called the ambulance. The ambulance got there. Thankfully, they did not try to pull out the pitchfork out of his chest. They ended up getting him to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, Monty Heinecker shared this story about the fact that he wasn't very faithful during this period in his life. You know, he would go to church if it was convenient, but if he had something else to do, he just wouldn't go to church. I mean, how many of us know people like that? You know, when it's convenient, I'll be faithful. When it's not convenient, then I'll just do whatever I want to do. And Monty said that he was like that, according to Stan. Monty was like that at this particular period in his life. On the way to the hospital, though, Monty knew that his life wasn't really right with God, and he made this resolution in his mind toward God that if you help me to get out of this and to live, I will be the most faithful, I will be the most dedicated person you know. Well, Stan's wife, Millie, her cousin, actually met Monty Heinecker. Believe it or not, he lived through this event. When they got him to the hospital, they were able to carefully take the pitchfork out of his heart. They were able to patch his heart, and he lived through it. When Stan's wife, Millie, when her cousin Julie met Monty Heinecker, she said he was the most faithful, the most sincere. She said he was just one of the most genuine Christians that she had ever met. Now, here's a guy who made a resolution: God, you help me get through this, and I'm gonna live for you. I'm gonna serve you. How many people, though, have made similar resolutions like that? You know, you get me out of this jam, and I'll be faithful, and then next week, you know, life gets busy, life gets hectic, and we forget our faithfulness to the Lord. Well, not Monty Heinecker, and he's a great illustration to think about. I think he's one of those that certainly speaks in a very positive way to us. But I got to thinking, what would you be thinking if you were lying on a gurney heading to the hospital with a pitchfork in your heart? Man, I wonder who is going to win that Alabama-Ohio State National Championship game tomorrow night. I wonder if the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl again. I wonder if the St. Louis Cardinals are going to have a good year. That's what all of you are thinking, right? All of you are thinking, no, some of you are Houston Astro fans. I get it. You know, are you thinking about what you're going to have for supper next week? Are you thinking about, no, you're thinking about your life before a holy God. And you're thinking about your relationship with Him. So, I want us to think about that. Because when it all boils down to this moment where you are going to meet God, what really matters? Your relationship with Him is what matters. You know, I want you to think about this. This year, 2021, We are a year closer to meeting our Lord. Today's the day of salvation. We're a day closer to heaven when we woke up today than we were yesterday. And every day that we live on this life that God blesses us, we are a day closer to meeting Him. So what really matters in life? Well, in our text this morning, we learn that we must prioritize. Again, verses 7 through 11 here. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss. Yet that I also count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness which is from the law, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul's saying, listen, I count everything in the past like a big pile of trash so that I can know Jesus. Because knowing Jesus is the most important thing in life. And when you cross from this life, that threshold into eternity, that relationship is all that matters. Do I have a good relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you do, if you are in Christ, you've been covered with His blood through the waters of baptism, then you have a relationship with Him. If you live faithful to Him, you have an intimate relationship with Him. If you continue to live faithful unto death, you will experience an eternal relationship with Him. That's all that will matter. All of these things that we're trying to accomplish in this life will matter very little. Knowing Christ, growing in Him is essential. I want to tell you, that's part of the motivation as to why our elders this year purchased these devotional books for us. I Grow, a daily devotional book by Philip Johnson. This came through the Focus Press. And the elders have purchased one for every family here at Fulshear. And they'll be given out next week, so hopefully you'll come and get your devotional book as a family. But our elders wanted us to grow. They want us to grow closer to Jesus. They want us to grow closer to God through a study of His Word. They want this to be a year of growth. Last year, I know that maybe we failed in some ways with our spiritual life. Maybe there's some things that we didn't do. I know for a lot of us, it was very difficult when we weren't together. Didn't mean that we weren't worshiping God like we are today, even virtually. It didn't mean that we didn't grow closer to God, but there were some things that just weren't right about us last year. And so let this year be a good year. Let's prioritize. Let's determine what's important. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first. Now underline that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What's the most important thing in your life? Keith Parker, in one of the devotional books that comes through the Jenkins Institute, they've done three, maybe four now devotional books. In one of the devotional books, Keith Parker gave this idea for that passage on Matthew 6:33. He wrote one of the devotionals on Matthew 6:33. And he talked about that word first. And he said, if you'll just take that word first, F-I-R-S-T, and you look at how that word is laid out, it will help us to understand what's the priority in our lives. Okay? He said, for example, the word, the letter F. Let's think about the word focus in that word first. What is our focus? What really matters? You know, Paul tells us to set our affection on things that are above, not on things of the earth. And I'm afraid a lot of times what happens is, down here is what we're thinking about most of the time. Instead of thinking about God, thinking about the fact that our citizenship is in heaven. That's what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. That's where our Lord is. That's where our great God is. That's where the beautiful Spirit of God is. They dwell in heaven. And our affections should be geared toward heaven. So what is our focus? You know, do we focus more about the things of this life? I mean, it's hard not to. I understand that. And it's hard not to give them attention. It just shouldn't be that we give all of our attention to those things. And the letter I is the word income. You know, you can look back at the things that you spent money on and it will say a lot about your focus. You know, do we spend money on things that in some way help to further the kingdom of God? Are we spending money in some way to help with our money those who are in need? You know, do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith, Paul would say. What do we spend our money on? You know, the rich young ruler, that was his focus. His focus was his money, his income. That was the reason that Jesus gave him the words that he gave him. God was not the focus. God was number two. Money was the focus. That's why he was so sorrowful when Jesus gave him those words. The letter R. So we're going to focus our income. The letter R, relationships. What really matters in life happens through the people that you spend your time with. Are you spending your time with God's family? Are we spending our time with people who are nothing like the principles that we embrace on Sunday? You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good moral. Relationships matter. We are God's greatest asset, people. And God wants us to look at His greatest asset, people, and do everything that we can to redeem them. To help have better relationships in Christ. That's why Paul, when he would start some of these letters out that he wrote, like for example in this letter to the Philippians, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. See, relationships mattered, specifically relationships in Jesus Christ. And then there's the letter S. The letter S in the word first. Security. What do you place your security in? Where's your security? Is it in Jesus? Are you secure in Jesus? You know, Stan told me about, it was just an illustration. He said, Charles, it's like when we were talking about some of this, he said, it's like this guy who was working on top of a tin roof, on his barn, and he started to slide down, and about that time, as he started to slide down, he was gonna fall off the, barn roof, and he said, Lord, please save me, and about that time, a nail. His overalls caught on a nail. A nail caught him. He said, oh, don't worry about it this time, Lord. And he put his security not in God. He thought, oh, this nail is the saving factor here. And how many times do we say, you know, Lord, I would like for you to, okay, no, I figured it out. I got it. We start to place the security in ourselves, in our own abilities, in our own talents. We start to leave God out of the picture. Do you remember that moment when God had a come to Jesus moment, if you will, with the children of Israel? And they looked over and he said, you look at all this beautiful wealth that you've gained and all of the prosperity. And you say, look at the wells that I've dug and look at the houses I've built and look at the fields that I've planted and look at all of this stuff I've done. And he said, you forget I was the one behind it all. We have to place our security in God to help us to get through this life. Our security is in Jesus. If we live faithfully in Him, there is nothing that can separate us from Him. Now, we can decide to walk away from Him, but there's nothing to separate us if we live faithfully in Him. Our security must be in Jesus Christ. And then time. Number five. F-I-R-S-T. Time. How do you spend your time? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, Paul would say. We've got to take advantage of this time that God's given us. Now think about the opportunities you missed in 2021. Think about the opportunities we've missed. We all missed them. Was it because we were not very disciplined with our time? And we failed in those opportunities? Now, there were a lot of opportunities that we did take advantage of, amen, and praise God for that, that we used our time wisely. I'm not saying we don't always just abuse our time, but there are moments when we do, right? And what we do, where's our focus? Where's our income? Our elders have set out a plan for 2021 based on the generosity of this church family. What's our relationships? Our relationships with one another, what is that like? That says a lot about our faith in Jesus. It says a lot about whether we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Where's our security? Is it in ourselves? Is it in our job? Is it in our economy? Is it in our country? Or is it in Jesus Christ? And where is our time? How have we spent our time? The letter first, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. See, we need to prioritize what's important in life. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His Spirit, being conformed to His death. We want to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ in this brand new year. Now think about your relationship with Jesus. Think about where we are as a church family. Think about where we are as individual members of this church family. Think about what's most important in our lives. We'll come back next week. We're going to look at this passage again. And we'll pick up a few things next week that will help us as we move forward in this new year. Doesn't all happen in one week. God's going to give us the blessings of a brand new year. A lot of exciting things are going to happen in this new year. Amen? How many of you are looking forward to some exciting things to happen in this new year? Not just a building. God's going to do a lot in us and through us aside from that building that we're anticipating. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. Amen? And we want to be found faithful in Him. Prioritize. Put the first things first in life. In just a moment, Brother Dan is going to lead us in a song. And Brother Dan will lead us in this song to help us center our minds, focus our thoughts on Jesus Christ as we think about the Lord's death, the Lord's burial, the Lord's resurrection, the Lord's body, the Lord's blood. And so Dan will lead us in this song. Hopefully you will have your emblems ready to observe the Lord's Supper together with us. We're going to do it here in this room. We know you're going to do it virtually where you are. And understand, we're not offering an invitation here this morning, although some of these guys do need to repent, I think, come forward. But we're not going to do that, okay? The invitation's always open, though. Our elders, Robert and Mike, are always available to help anyone who has need. Jim and Keith Williams and Dan and Keith and Brock are all ready to help other members if you need help. We've got men who will spiritually help you if you need encouragement today. And so know that that invitation is always open. Dan's going to come at this time. Thank you for joining at least in this part with the sermon. Dan's going to come in this time, continue our service together, our worship service together, as we sing this song and prepare our hearts and minds for the Lord's Supper.